The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, welcome to My Brother Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middlest brother, big dog, woof woof, Travis McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? It's also me, your okay-sized dog, woof woof,
yeah,
Griffin
McElroy. Medium. I was hunting dog.
A big terrier, Griffin McElroy.
Working dog, maybe?
Do you got intro? Because you started.
Yes, I do,
okay,
actually.
Okay, cool.
I will... Is that
no? Yeah, it's just I thought maybe we could do a Garfield watch, but we could sit on that until next
well,
week.
Well, okay, no, that's perfect because I would like to do something different. A Garfield watch. We've got two flops, and I would like to talk about the previous weekend in the box office if I could.
I see. Okay,
in fact,
yes.
I'd like to talk about the past two weekends in the box office.
Yeah, what's
if
going on?
I can. Thank you. So I want to look at the domestic. The domestic box office weekend, not for Memorial Day, it was just wild, y'all.
Oh yeah, I bet people were flooding
into the theaters
for Memorial Day, right?
Theaters,
flooding the theaters,
kids out of school,
yeah,
free time,
yeah, man. No, it was a big stinker in the theaters because you had a tie. America looked at the movies,
yeah,
and they said, "Not many of us want to see a movie." But exactly the same number of us want to see Mad Max, Furiosa, Mad Max Saga, and the Garfield movie.
Yeah.
An exactly even number of Americans said...
To the number, to the singles.
Oh, pretty close.
So do you think it was million. You think it was a one-for-one double feature kind of thing, or it's like people just made a day of it?
Fuck yeah, man.
Furiosa made $32 million, Garfield made $31 million. It's basically the same amount of Americans wanted to see... Now, a much larger set said,
no.
No, thank you.
No, no films for me today, thanks.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
No movies. I might dip in on The Fall Guy. I missed it. But
yeah.
I'm not seeing the new one.
Listen, so many of you should. Not enough people saw The Fall Guy. I loved it very much. That's all I'm saying. We don't have to do a
I'm
full
sure,
thing
yeah,
about
Ryan
it.
Ryan and Emily needed your
baby. I'm just
thank
saying,
you.
It's being called a flop. It didn't do well in the box office. That's a pity. It's a wonderful movie. Everybody should see it.
I mean, but it sounds like all of them are flopping. I mean, I guess.
I mean,
well, because now they're available 2 weeks after they come
that's
out. I can watch it on my television.
That's the ish.
I'm frustrated because more people didn't go see Furiosa, and I think George Miller's a genius.
Yeah.
And I think everybody should see his films. He works so hard on them. My bigger frustration... I'm among the number who has not seen Furiosa.
Yeah.
So it is a very frustrating situation all around for me, both frustrated with everybody for not making this thing make money so I can watch it.
But you also being
I'm
part
kind
of the problem.
I'm frustrated with myself.
I mean, I'll take it even a step further. I know, okay. Stone Cold, for a fact, I'm gonna see the fucking Garfield movie before I see Mad Max Furiosa and Mad Max Saga. Absolutely.
That's a full name.
Undeniable. I go see films largely for my children. Last one I went and saw, Kung Fu Panda 4. The Freudian slip, but maybe not that much.
Wow.
No, it was all right. I do actually enjoy the Kung Fu Panda films. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I have to see this Garfield flick because we saw the trailer for this. Henry doesn't know who this fucking orange cat is from Adam. Was like, day one. We are going
Day
to see
one.
Him. His dad's in it. Odie's
I
in
love,
it.
Got I to. Love how he sounds exactly like Mario.
It's so cool.
And Star-Lord.
He does like that, Justin. Actually, that's cool because now Mario can be in so many movies, so many wonderful films.
If you see both of those, by the way, Garfield and Mad Max on the same day, is Garfield, Fury Road, A Mad Max Saga, is the two
that
of
could
them
be cool.
together.
Yeah. I think it's the full title is Mad Max, Garfield, Fury Road,
Furry.
Mad
Sorry,
Max
Justin.
Saga.
Furry Road.
Furiosa.
Furiosa. A Mad Max,
Boy,
Garfield Saga.
Both of those two sound so angry.
Yeah, yeah.
You think
Mad
Garfield?
Max,
oh, sorry.
Furiosa? They both sound like so steep.
I wonder if they realized they did happened. That. Do you think that they put that together? Where it's like
embarrassing much.
I think they didn't go see Furiosa because it was a prequel, and we know she's fine.
Yeah.
She's in the next one.
How many stabs at making a Garfield movie do you think they're going to do before Hollywood just owns up to the fact people don't want to see Garfield?
Shut the fuck up, Travis. You are saying some really rude and wrong stuff right now.
Man.
I already told you, my son is dying to see this Orange Cat eat some lasagna. Like, dying.
You think your son is the cross-section representation of real America, Garfield?
Well, let's talk about it, Travis. In 2004, Garfield, the movie, came out starring Bill Murray because he thought it was a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
It's true.
It happens.
And then that one made $200 million on a $75 million budget.
Jesus Christ.
Amazing. What? Thank you.
Globally?
Globally, $200,000 on a budget of $75
million.
Now, no, Garfield, no. No one, Travis.
Now,
Garfield
is
an extremely, specifically, intrinsically American hero, I will say.
It made $75 million domestic, $200 million worldwide on a budget of $50 million.
Amazing.
So that's a huge
well
return.
Well done, Garfield.
I mean, it's a huge return. Tale of Two Kitties.
Perfect.
You got Billy Connolly in this one. It makes $143 million worldwide.
It's a sequel.
On presumably the same budget.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a Grand Slam franchise. Why did they let it go dormant for that long? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't think of a three. They couldn't think of a three name, like a Tale of Three.
My babies, you know that those budgets aren't reflective of actually all the money they spent on the movie, right?
Yeah, I know, but like they didn't probably. I mean, I know.
Because they have to spend money. You have to mark up. And that Garfield fool was everywhere.
Go off, Film King.
I'm just saying. This
Garfield is also not a thing.
What?
Garfield is just around. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, Garfield, it's not like I ever miss Garfield.
Oh, you know yeah.
I
mean?
He's there when I need
him. Problem. No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That sounds good, what you're saying. What I'm saying is, he seems so omnipresent, I never get a chance to say what happened to Garfield.
Yes.
Or, I used to like Garfield. You know what I mean? Even if they're not doing movies, it's in the comics. And there was Garfield Eats that was quite the debacle.
Yeah.
And we're talking about him all the time. I feel like he's just always... He's always around. I don't miss him.
Yeah,
I
would those like three to make, things.
I would like to make a bold, slightly out of nowhere statement, but related to this. And listen, this is a big confession I got here, boys. I don't feel strongly about Snoopy, and I feel like I should.
Oh, dog, same.
Okay, right?
No, that's some big grandpa shit. I can't with Snoopy.
Snoopy like, keeps showing. He's like at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, and everybody gets so excited, and I'm like, okay.
I see Snoopy pops up and like to try to delight my wife or kids, I'll try to come up with like a take on Snoopy.
Can't.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
No.
It's just he's Snoopy. Cool.
Snoopy is
he's
the,
like,
he's the Seinfeld of the comic strip world.
No, he's not. Cause I had some opinions.
Sorry. He's the Frasier of the comic strip world. I got my white sitcom stars mixed up in my head for a minute.
I just don't even think.
So
dry. If you think about how much we've been able to talk about Frasier, I'm not even sure that's accurate.
Yeah,
like
that's
it's
true
just,
too. Damn it.
He's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not funny.
He's fair.
Just Snoopy, man. The kid's sad.
And like,
I don't know.
I have stronger feelings about Doonesbury.
There's like those things are like an hour long, those holiday movies, and like four things happen in them. It's like,
yeah.
Go fucking faster, Charles. Please.
We just need to be able to say we've watched this.
Yep. It's just...
It's a check mark every season.
It's enormous bald children walking slowly in the snow for 15 minutes, and then they get to the doghouse, and they're like, looks like Snoopy ate his kibble today. And then the dog dances for 15 minutes. It's just, and nothing fucking happens.
They have these breaks where it's like parents need time to leave to smoke.
Yeah.
That's when these cartoons came out. So parents could go smoke while their kids just watch the big hit.
And after we watch Snoopy win the decoration or whatever, and now the call to worship where we talk about how Jesus came, and that's Christmas.
That would be more interesting. At least like things like Wizard of Id, I can enjoy because it's written by a Christian man about times before Christ was born. And I love that because he must have just been really in stitches thinking about their hell that they're going to
forever and ever.
Hey, listen, this is an advice show and I want to help people. Here is our first question. The other day, four zebras escaped a trailer passing through my locality.
Fuck yeah.
Three were recaptured, but one is still on the lam. My question is, what do I do if I encounter the zebra? Local animal control gave me a number to call, but I need to know what to do after I call. And
okay, wait. Local animal control gave a number. They didn't say like, hey, you, Doug, if you see this zebra, you call
provided
me.
Provided publicly that number to call. But because
we're
one
deputizing you, Jason. Get out there.
One cannot simply encounter a runaway zebra and then continue about their day. That's from watching for wildlife in Washington.
What other fucking choice do you have? Like, you see the zebra and you just lay down?
No. This is a great point.
Like, what do you do?
Because I
got some time with a zebra.
Well, I see a wild zebra, right? Even if I call.
Yeah.
And they're like,
zebra time?
They're like, I'm on the way. But let's
what they're saying is like, you got a zebra. Yeah. I think that's the question, right? You got a zebra for some amount of time.
Yeah.
I think that you, here's what I will say. If I'm in animal control and I got a call about a runaway zebra, I don't think I can immediately dispatch. I think I'm going to need a little time on Google. I think I'm going to need a little time.
How to not kill a zebra when you touch it.
Because this is not a thing. In Cincinnati, I guarantee, we have a huge zoo here, and I guarantee animal control isn't getting briefed on what to do if, like, the rhino gets out.
Like, they're definitely calling people. They've got to call people at the zoo. Like, this is embarrassing, but we can control animals within reason.
Yeah, to a point.
This is beyond, we cannot control these animals.
The animal that got out has thumbs. Fuck, man. I have no back all of a sudden. No,
all of our thing is that. A zebra. We have, like, porcupine, at best, sized containers.
Yeah. We have no cage for a zebra.
A zebra? A rhinoceros? Okay, do you know the Army's phone number? Because I'm going to have to give them a ring.
They probably, their best bet is, like, we tied a carrot to a string on a stick, and we're seeing what we can do.
That works on a lot of animals.
Actually. Yeah, that's true.
I think your best bet... Your best bet is to just start taking selfies right then.
Yeah.
And if it were me, I would take as many different ones as I could with as many different angles and changes of clothes as I could.
And expression, right? Because then you could be like, happy graduation. Or you could be like, sad funeral.
Yeah.
Or I might shave. I'd like to be able to use the pictures to document a month-long story on my Instagram.
Yeah, carry changes of clothes with you.
Yeah, like me and Zebro are having another day out, like wherever, like
Zebra
out
and ham. About.
And then in the last one, I'll do like a sad picture.
Oh, you gone?
And I'll be like, had to say goodbye to my best friend today.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Good going on that rainbow bridge. I love you so much, Zebro. I miss you.
You don't think it'd be a black and white bridge?
What?
Or do you think once the zebra dies, now he turns into the zebra from the Fruit Stripes gum?
Yeah.
And now he's got all his colors back?
Right. And then I'll say, it turns out the zebra burial is extremely expensive. And if you've enjoyed the saga of me and Zebra, I would love if everyone would pitch in on the zebra funeral.
You get money out of that.
This is the worry.
There was no zebra.
There was a zebra.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be cut in on this. You know what I mean? I think he would.
No, he's fucking dead, man. He's toast.
No. That's just Zebro in the story. It's a fictional zebra.
Oh, then you got to kick some to Zebro then, because if he's faking his death, you got to make that worth his while.
Zebro's not real. Zebro's the invented zebra that I'm telling my story.
But it's a real zebra, but it's a character you've based off a real zebra. This is inspired by a true story.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
His name is probably something dumb like Franklin or whatever.
That's actually a tremendous name for a zebra.
Yeah, sorry everybody at home named Franklin. I don't know.
For a zebra, I'm saying.
That's an amazing zebra name.
Animals?
Wait, no, Justin, what would you name a zebra that's so fucking cool?
You can't react to my facial expressions, Travis.
Okay, that's fair.
It's against the rules. It's against the rules of the podcast. You can't look at the expressions I'm making and then talk about them on the show.
Can we just say,
they didn't see
not
that.
A joke, on every show we do with Justin that involves a webcam, Justin mean mugs a lot of the time, and sometimes I don't know what is like part of the content.
Sometimes I'm layering counter subtext to what I am saying.
It's especially
with my words.
He'll hold up sign to say derogatory or lie.
No, yeah. No, it's especially it's acute on the besties when like someone will say something about a video game and Justin will just give a like quick eyebrow raise, like, But you don't get to hear that at home, which is twisted, but the rest of us are like, just see in the corner of our UI, like, Justin disliked that. And it's like, but what, does he want to talk about that? Or was that just, no, he doesn't. He's shaking, he's doing it to me right now.
I don't want to talk about it. I just want them to know that my disappointment has been noted. That they made,
Justin will remember this.
Yes.
That they said something wrong, and I don't have time to unpack it right now.
Yeah, cool.
My worry would be, I see the zebra, I call animal control. They're like, okay, we're sending someone out. We're thinking 10 to 15 minutes, right, is my assumption of how long they'll get there. How long am I responsible for eyes on zebra until somebody gets
You're
there?
You're holding the bag for sure. You
right?
are
like,
responsible
I can't be like, well,
zebra.
That's my duty done, off to Subway, right? Like, I need to stay on, like, I got to keep on zebra,
okay,
right?
And this is the situation. The animal control's like, keep that zebra contained. Don't let it out of your fucking sight. You say, okay, thanks, animal control. Hurry, please. Beep. As soon as you hang up, the zebra's like, well, see ya, and starts to trot away. What do you do? You can't yell like, no, fuck, stop.
They're going to definitely tell you, do not approach the zebra.
Yeah.
And then you're going to say, why?
It's my zebra time. I can spend it how I want to.
Like, what is it going to do? Like, don't get within... What, biting range? Is that what you mean?
A plain zebra weighs almost 900 pounds. I would say average 900 pounds. That is going to body me. I try to get in its way. There's no way I get in that zebra's way and I come out the victor. Best I can hope is I'm going to ride that zebra. I'm going to jump on that zebra's back from a chair.
Best you can
hope for. Try to keep him
calm. Yeah, you'd have to try to last. That's the only way you're going to bring him down.
I'm always so nervous about animals stuff. Because my gut is like, if you're asking me what I'm doing with my zebra time, like, I'm creating unforgettable experiences. And then my gut is, then I say, all right, zebra, you better clear the fuck out of here.
Right.
Because the animal police are coming, basically, and they are going to take you back to zoo. I say that thinking I'm a hero of the people, but then people come to me and they're like, actually, if zebras aren't in captivity, they can't take care of themselves. They die instantly if they touch asphalt. If they touch asphalt, if they step onto a street, all their legs break at once and they die instantly as their body hits the ground. And then all of a sudden, I'm the asshole because I'm not like, this time we do need the zebra cops.
It would be tantamount to the ice cream falls off of your cone and you watch it melt on the ground. Just, and you're like, yeah, liberty.
Be free, ice cream.
Be free, ice cream.
Yeah.
You won't be consumed. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of life that zebra's going to get here in Cincinnati, but I can't imagine it's better than, being at the beautiful Cincinnati Zoo, second best zoo in the U.S.
This person says Washington, and it kind of depends on which Washington.
Yeah.
Right? One, you get hunted by werewolves. No good.
Yeah.
The other one, you might get shot by Joe Biden sport hunting.
Yeah, man, you don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know.
I'm calling him.
Oh, by the way, bear update. Got a text from my lifelong best friend, Tommy Red, said that his mom, you don't remember where Dreama lives, but it's that road off of Norway.
Don't tell me I don't remember where Dreama lives. Right by the animal hospital?
Yeah, right by Ayers. She saw the bear. So think about that, guys. You know where I live. You know where Dreama lives.
Huh.
She saw the bear, too. That this dude had to have crossed Norway Avenue.
This bear is Forrest Gumping around town, just running.
He's appearing in, like, pictures. Like, Steve Williams is like, me and my bear hanging out. Like, it's wild.
We also got just another update. A lot of firefighters right in to say that they do, in fact.
Okay.
Well, they do, in fact, like Fire Adventures. They get super psyched for it. And someone also informed us that apparently the number of firefighter / arsonist crossover is kind of high.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to necessarily espouse that journey. We don't need to perpetrate that.
Yeah. We don't have the stats.
I would say everyone, here's one that says, I was a firefighter for many, many years. And yes, I loved Fire Adventures. Travis hit it on the head. I'm not glad something is on fire, but I'm glad I'm going to be the one putting it out. I decided to do something else when I stopped being excited about Fire Adventures. Well, yeah, you got to. I will say this. If you are a firefighter and you're like, my passion in putting out fires is just not there anymore, it's probably easier than most jobs to just go, so I'm going to stop doing this now. Because it's like, if I don't want to do podcasts anymore, my heart's not in it, I can still shit out some podcasts because I'm not going to die maybe from doing them.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good point, because if you turn in your 2 weeks notice or whatever as a firefighter, I bet there's not a lot of follow-up questions from the boss. It's like, why don't you want to do this anymore? It's like, oh, for the everything of it. Everything of it?
Yeah, but also, you probably wouldn't get bored of podcasting if it was as exciting to tell people about as fighting fires.
That's also true.
Like, you're never like, you know, one time we had Jesse Eisenberg on and there were some awkward gaps in the conversation because of lag, and it was the hardest day of my life. Yeah. Like, no one wants to.
But we pulled Jesse out of that one.
We pulled Jesse out. No, we made it. We all made it home.
This is sort of unprecedented for the show. I do want to read this other firefighter email from David. Who says, I'm a wildland firefighter. I fight forest fires. Rad. We're collectively a highly adventurous culture, and getting to go fight wildfires is probably the most fun thing that I get to do in my life. Our culture is also very strange. We have a capricious god whose domain is misery. Latent pyromania is essentially a job requirement, and shitting yourself is extremely common. Almost every firefighter I know has an excellent shit story. That's not something I expected from.
Well, when you're in it, I'm working Best Buy. I can look at my manager like, "Hey, can someone cover the computer department?
I gotta take a
10-2. I gotta take a shit. I'm putting out a firefighter that's threatening people's lives. I don't think I get to be like, "Hey, can someone grab this hose for me? I gotta go shit."
I have engineered a life and a career that when I go to the bathroom, no one can text me and be like, you have to work now. If I'm pooping, I could search our text history from the three of us that just includes the phrase like, gonna be 10 minutes late, pooping. You don't get that when you hear clang, 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 clang. The orphanage, the orphanage is ablaze. I can't be like, ooh, can they hold off a little bit? I'm in the middle of my constitutional. I just started, guys. Just let her rip.
I would love if you're a firefighter with a great firefighter pooping story, that maybe that's a new segment. Maybe we can review some of those
in the shit.
On the show. In the or fire down below.
Yeah, one of those two.
Either
backdraft
segment time.
Backdraft.
I mean,
yes.
We got a lot of different great names for this segment already. I live in a house that has three units. According to the lease, the people who live in Unit A are the only ones allowed to use the backyard. However, the people in that unit kindly allow all of us to use it. Last year, they set up a hammock. Not only is it nice, it's the only piece of furniture outside. The backyard is mostly concrete with a tree and some rose bushes, no grass. The weather is getting nice, and I've been wanting to get some sun in, but my neighbor hasn't set up his hammock yet. How do I convince him to set it up without sounding impatient or entitled? That's from Basking in the Bay.
This must be a good hammock for you to even consider having what is going to be an uncomfortable social interaction for one or both of you. This hammock, this isn't one of those nylon mesh ones that cuts into your flesh as you lay in it, like some sort of Hellraiser trap.
Yeah, this has to be canvas. Yeah,
this is a canvas cushioned fucking memory foam situation.
But it might also just be the absence of other furniture, Griffin, elevates the quality of
the
it
hammock
in one's
yeah.
mind.
It's true. It also elevates the relaxation.
Yeah.
Because you don't have people sitting around you looking at you while you're on the hammock. It's really important to not have chairs nearby, because if someone's sitting in a chair and I see them on the hammock, I'm in my head like, do they wish they were in
there? Dude, hammock sitting is such a live wire. Of sort of social interactions, because it's not what you expect, which is like, when I'm sitting in a hammock, I'm not nervous that people are watching me waiting for me to fall out. When I'm in a hammock, I am thinking like, am I chilling enough? Like, you can't sit in a hammock and look like antsy or uncomfortable. Like, I need to look extremely, extremely chill right now.
I am. This is a brief journey that I go on with every hammock I've experienced so far. So I feel like my record's pretty spotless. One, that looks relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two, it is hard to get into.
Correct.
And I almost fall. Three, it takes a while, but I finally find a spot that's comfortable. Four, I think to myself, this is going to be hard to get out of.
Correct.
Yeah.
Then I think, I better find out right now how hard it's going to be to get out of, because I won't be able to think about anything else.
Correct.
Six, I get out. It's embarrassing. I almost fall. I eventually settle for, because there's no graceful way, sort of rolling out.
Correct.
Sort of just slumping onto the ground.
Landing on all fours. Yeah, like a dog.
The whole thing takes about 3 minutes.
Easy.
Or we're good.
So both of these points, it's a similar thing of like if I take a bath. Right. And I'm like, this will be relaxing. And then I get in and I immediately want to get out because I'm bored. Because I have what's called, I believe the doctors call it ADHD. And I'm immediately bored and ready for the next thing. But then I think it was so much work to get to this point. I am going to now have the most stressful 10 minutes of my life forcing myself to be in this thing long enough to justify everything that's got me to this moment.
That's a very private example. I am now thinking about every public leisure activity carries with it a psychic burden of relaxation projection. I have sat in those like massage chairs at an airport. And when I'm in it, I'm like, first of all, it's fucking incredible. The Shiatsu technology that they have in these things.
How do they do it?
Is so, so, so on point. But also, I need to look normal now. I can't, and maybe normal for on a massage chair is like, you know, maybe it's not normal to sit there stone, like beady eyed, just staring into the middle distance while, you know, robot balls work your back. What's the right amount of relaxation so that I don't seem like also a fucking creep? Because I can't be in this massage chair like, you know?
Similar to getting onto a float in a pool, by the way.
Absolutely.
This lay down float,
100%.
There's no way I look good getting on it, and then I'm on it, and immediately I think, well, I've just started toasting myself in the sun. I'm in a toaster. I put myself in a human toaster oven. I can't stay on this, but I did just work really hard to get on it.
Yeah.
We had such an awkward one when we were flying through. I think it was when we were going through flying home from SeaTac. There was Travis and me and Dad were all on the same flight, and there was a row of massage chairs. And I saw Travis in one. He got in the gate first. I saw Travis sitting in one, really enjoying it.
Yeah.
There's an empty one next to him. And in fact, there's a couple empty ones next to him. So I get down and sit next to him, and I swipe the card, and I do the whole bit, and it doesn't work. And that chair doesn't work. And then I go over to the next chair, and I swipe the whole bit, and I try it. It doesn't work. So I go back to the other chair, and I sit down. I'm like, Trav, this doesn't work. But it's the only available seat. So I stay in it, and I know it's not on.
No, Justin! You can't sit in an inactive massage chair.
It was the only seat. Now, here's the worst.
Sit on the floor.
Then somebody else comes.
Oh, no.
Then somebody else comes and sits down next to me. I'm suddenly in hell, because two things are true. I know that chair doesn't work. And I know I'm going to watch that person try to make the chair work.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to say it doesn't work. And they're going to get so frustrated. And I hate seeing stuff
and
like that.
And Justin knows. And the whole time, you could have said, like, they're part of doesn't you work. Wants to say, that chair doesn't work. And set the expectation right then. But then and that's then also weird.
And then I need to tell them probably that my chair doesn't work. Because the obvious thing for them is like, well, this husky boy is taking up a whole seat.
Yeah.
And I could be trying that one. So then I have to tell the stranger, this chair doesn't work. And then I have to tell him the third thing, which is the guy in the chair that does work is my brother.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here.
At which point I do a huge shit-eating grin and thumbs up. Yeah. And I say, and it's great.
And I bet every fiber of my being thinks, Travis, please stop your pleasurable experience to let this stranger take the chair from you.
No.
But he does it.
I paid for like 20 minutes on that goddamn chair.
That's too much time. You're too tender.
If I get out in the middle, I'll lose access to the avatar state. What are you talking about, Justin? Who knows what horrible thing? The treatment's not complete. Yeah. What if it's beaten my muscles up but hasn't rebuilt them? I get out, I Alex Mack puddle right away. Are you kidding?
That's possible.
That's like fair.
A zebra?
After it breaks you down, it's got to build you back up.
Yeah, I'm
concrete.
Not breaking the cycle.
I think juice in that situation next time, you just kind of can move your body like you're getting rubbed.
Yeah, while you make like
just like boom, boom, boom. Oh, chicka, chicka.
What you need to do, I think it's too late for this now, but you need to start when they do set it up, right? Start saying things like, this makes the summer for me. Thank you so much for setting this up.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Right? This is amazing. That way you can set up the expectation of like.
Ooh, go out into the yard with your boombox and your cooler full of seltzers. And then you're going to have to stand there for a while. So like wear sunscreen and stuff and just like look around confused like you lost the hammock. Like, you know, the hammock should be here, but it's gone. And if they see that, they're going to read between
maybe
the
lay
lines.
Down in the space where the hammock would be and like kind of rock your body like you swing back and forth.
So
then start
cool.
crying really loudly.
Get a big beach towel and two strong friends who will hold either side of it. And then you get in it like a caterpillar cocoon.
Yeah.
And you have them swing you back and forth.
Get a large number of like middle school age children and a big like rainbow colored parachute and lay in the middle of them and have them flip
That's
you around a bunch.
Be on your phone arguing with your bank because you need more money to buy your own hammock, but you don't have any money and like
you've been denied a loan.
Make your own hammock.
Yeah, make your own hammock.
Out of what?
Make your own sad little hammock. It doesn't matter. The sadder, the better.
Braid together a bunch of old shopping bags.
A towel and two lawn chairs, just like, and the point is it doesn't work. So the neighbor needs to see you like getting it all set up, just like
your feet on the one chair, your head on one chair, and your butt on the ground in the middle.
But you keep doing it, it keeps falling apart. Like the football kid, what's his name? It always pulls it away from at the last.
Chuck Brown,
Charlie
Brown.
Boy.
You know, it's Snoopy stuff.
Snoopy's boy.
The neighbors just got to see you struggling. And they'll be like, hold on, why are you struggling? I've got to, I forgot the hammock. And then they'll go do it.
Solved.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's head to the money zone. And then we'll do more jokes.
We're sponsored this week by MetLife. Oh no!
Oh no!
Jeez.
Well, hi there, folks. Didn't see you come in there. Come in. I've got a nice crackling fire here. Dry off, traveler. I don't know why I'm doing it like this. Quick break from the show to tell you about our amazing sponsors. Aura Frames has been a sponsor of ours for a while, but not only that, it's been a presence in my home. We've got it right there by the front door. So my kids like to stand in front of it and say, that was me when I was a baby. And it's them like 6 months younger. It's great. But it's really easy to add photos to. It's a digital photo frame. I might not have mentioned that, but it's really easy to add photos to through your phone and other people's phone, whoever's connected to it. It makes a perfect gift for, you know, maybe a graduate in your life or coming up on Father's Day or just a birthday present or just get one for yourself. They're absolutely amazing. They're beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload. Go check it out right now. Aura has a great deal for Father's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. The deal ends June 18th, so don't wait. Use code MYBROTHER, all one word, at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. I also want to tell you about Factor. So warmer, sunnier days, they're a-calling. You need to have energy, either energy to get out there or energy to sit inside where it's cooler and you don't get sunburned, and the energy to sit there and know that you're right in your choice, because that's what I like to do. But no matter what, whether you need energy to go out to play or energy to sit smugly by the window in air conditioning, Factor's no prep, no mess meals are going to provide that energy for you, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So go check them out. They have 35 different meals, more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, always new flavors to explore, and they're going to make your day delicious. Breakfast to dessert, all of those things. It's not just dinners. It's everything, folks. And these meals are delicious. They're great. For me, the speed at having them ready, that's the thing for me. Because there's times, you know, where it's like, I want to eat right, but I do not have the patience or desire to spend even 10 to 15, 20 minutes making a meal. I want to just eat right now and go on about my day. That's what Factor is there for. So treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon, and more. head to factormeals.com/brother50 and use code brother50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code brother50 at factormeals.com/brother50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
I'm Sequoia Holmes, pop culturist and host of the Black People Love Paramore podcast. Contrary to the title, it is not a podcast about the band Paramore. Each episode, I, along with a special guest co-host, dissect one pop culture topic that mainstream media doesn't associate with Black people, but we know that we like. Tune in every Thursday to the podcast that's dedicated to helping Black people feel more seen here on Maximum Fun.
I'm Yucky Jessica.
I'm Chut Crudsworth.
And this is Terrible,
a podcast where we talk about things we hate that are awful.
Today we're discussing Wonderful, a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network.
Hosts Rachel and Griffin McElroy, a real-life married couple.
Yuck!
Discuss a wide range of topics. Music, video games, poetry, snacks.
But I hate all that stuff.
I know you do, Yucky Jessica.
It comes out every Wednesday, the worst day of the week, wherever you download your podcasts.
For our next topic, we're talking Fiona, the baby hippo from the Cincinnati Zoo.
I hate this little hippo.
I'd like to go to the wizard's hut, if you guys don't mind.
Were you invited?
No, but we're like chill. We're like pretty chill like that. He's my best. I'm his best friend.
Wait, who's your best friend, Griffin?
My best friend is Hank Mardukas.
Of course.
Thank you so much. It is how to sign a yearbook. Deciding what to write in someone's yearbook can be tricky. Consider how you know the yearbook owner and try to personalize your message. Write it about an inside joke, a memory you shared, or simply tell the person to enjoy their summer. Keep in mind that anyone can read your entry, so keep it clean and be nice and respectful.
Have you guys ever found yourself in a situation, be it like signing like a birthday card where a bunch of people are signing it for somebody, or like, you know, when you're in theater and you like sign everybody's show poster or whatever, you sign a yearbook like this, and you, without thinking, just kind of write your name and then realize everybody else has like personalized it?
Written it a thing, so, yeah. But you didn't leave room for that.
You didn't leave room.
So your name's right below. So you'll be like, Justin McElroy wishes you the best.
Yeah. Yeah, the idea of writing inside jokes or personal memory-based messages, pretty much, I would say 98% of yearbooks I signed were not for people with whom I possessed those things.
Yeah.
And then when I did find myself signing the yearbook of someone with whom I was a close friend, I would fucking freeze up deer in the headlights, like, unable to generate. So just a nice, I think I used to do just a nice signature on there.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. I don't feel like I've ever been offered a card to sign that hasn't felt like an assault at the time.
Yeah.
Like, homework. Why is it always, it feels like every time it's ever happened to me, it takes me about 30 seconds to even process what it is. Like, what? What are we doing? This is for who?
And it's also a weird little secret where they're like,
yeah,
hey,
and it always comes out of nowhere. It's always like, Justin, can I just steal you for a second? And then he shoves something in my hand. It's like, what do you want me to do? It's like, oh, one of those. I do
eat this. Eat it. Eat it right now, Justin. Eat it, please. You need to eat it or they'll die.
It's basically saying, I treasure you, so I didn't do something else for a second.
Yeah.
While I did this for you to make this power. It's filled with our life energy.
This took 21 of my seconds. Now, it's in this card.
And that's consider what love
who's. Consider whose book you're signing. Are they a good friend, a best friend, or just someone you've seen around in the halls? Write your message accordingly. Be honest but nice. Did you guys ever get people ask you sign your yearbook that you're like, okay.
I don't really know your whole thing.
Don't know your vibe. We were partners in kickball once. I guess that was pretty chill.
Even if I could remember that context, that would be amazing.
Yeah, then
great job at kickball. But the idea of, like, I have seen you in life.
I got a few. I think I might have been that person for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a lot of, like, wish we'd gotten to know each other better.
Oh, my God. So much. So many regrets I received in my yearbook. Like, you seem like a great guy. You've always seemed pretty cool.
Yeah.
Keep it short and sweet. Apportion the space according to how well you know the yearbook's owner. More space for a closer friendship, a whole lot less for a class acquaintance with whom you've had very little to do. I always actually appreciated once I discovered the I just signed your crack strategy.
Oh, good. So good.
It's very, very quick and space efficient. You are not going... The only person you're going to piss off is the next person who also wanted to sign the crack. And then it's like, maybe come up with a fucking original joke for once in your life. You know what I mean?
Another powerful move that I do sometimes, look for a sentiment that somebody else has already written.
Oh, you're like,
that's a powerful compliment. And then you write like, yeah, what they said. Travis and I are like, oh, yeah, couldn't agree more. Travis McRoy.
Yeah.
Ooh. Everybody whose yearbook I signed in high school got the exact same signature. Lilas, L-Y-L-A-S, love you like a sister,
yeah,
Justin McElroy. Sorry, so sloppy. That's what everybody
too
got.
Too cool to be forgotten. I did a lot of those. I did a lot of those.
That's a good one. Can't fault it.
Never do have a great summer. Don't you have a great summer? That's I don't know shit about you.
But one time
too
I got
cool to be forgotten.
Yeah. I was in yearbook. I got in trouble from Miss Fillinger, the yearbook teacher. You don't teach a yearbook, but she was the advisor for a yearbook class. I got in trouble because I think in eighth grade, I was about to go to high school, so who gave a shit? I wrote Have a Kick-Ass Summer in a lot of my friends' books. And that got back to
Andy coming out there.
Got back.
Little Andy.
What? Oh, is Andy. That my bad person?
Got a little bit of Andy in there.
Yeah, remember.
Yeah. I got a little bit of trouble with Miss Fillinger. But I think we squashed it fucking eventually. Hey, use neat handwriting. Yeah, sign the yearbook quickly. That one's huge. If I've got, hey, listen, Chloe, if I've got Tanner waiting in the wings to sign my fucking yearbook and you're doing it right now, I appreciate you. We had some great time in yearbook class. This is fucking Tanner we're talking about. He's got a lot of yearbooks to sign. He's really popular, but he's also my friend from church. And so I need him to get in here to have ample time to leave his mark. If you don't mind, you're writing a whole story in there, Gabrielle, and I appreciate that. But Tanner's fucking right here.
Here's a life hack that they don't always talk about. You don't have to get the yearbook signed that year. There's no due date. If you find them 20 years later and you're like, hey, you never signed my eighth grade yearbook, you can still get them to do it.
Yeah.
You can get it. My trick in high school that I would recommend to people is to try to stand around yearbook time near people who everyone is going to ask to sign their yearbook. Because if you're nearby,
I'm near Chris, I'm near David,
they see and they're already signing, they're like, well, Justin, as long as it's like awkward. Like I've noticed.
You want me to go and grab that? I can grab that.
I'll just go ahead and knock mine out.
While you wait for David, I could do it.
Yeah.
I always wish we got to know each other better. Me too.
Yeah. Do you want to hang out now while we still live in the same city or perhaps next year when we attend the same school? No? Okay.
Yeah. Cool, but then you start signing it as Tanner. And then you can sell like a service like, guys, listen, do you want to wait in line for Tanner or do you want me, Griffin?
The Tanner tribute experience.
The Tanner forger.
Tanner.
Griffin. Yeah. I'll make Tanner say whatever the fuck you want him to say. Like, you're so fucking sexy, Dylan. Love Tanner. I don't give a shit. I will write whatever. Please don't tell Tanner, though. There's more, I guess. Yeah. Make an inside joke. I'm not going to do that. Write about a memorable moment you had together.
Make up a memorable moment.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like the people in my high school that wrote, I wish I'd gotten to know you better, always kind of didn't ring true for me because, I went to school with the same people for the entirety of the time. I feel like there was not a customer base for the Justin McElroy brand that was not being served in high school.
Yeah, right.
I met my entire addressable market, my TAM, my total addressable market, in eighth grade. Everyone knew who they felt about the brand.
Yeah.
This was steady. Everyone had a chance.
You're not
to
one
experience.
Of those bakeries where it's like, we make just this many, and when they're sold out, they're gone. You were making more muffins all day long.
We reached everybody. Yeah. We reached everybody. We gave them a sample, and everyone decided how they felt about it. But there was not a lot of gray area. So we got to all the customers.
So if you're going
to
write that, get more specific. And right, I wish that your personality and my personality would have meshed
had
in such a way
compatible.
That I had enjoyed your company instead of the opposite, which was to find you kind of annoying and overbearing. And in that universe, I think we would have gotten along well. L Y L A S.
Dear Justin, I wish you had the first idea to talk to anybody that wasn't already in church with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love me. Yeah. That's it.
I've signed my own yearbook a lot. Dear Travis, I wish you would engage in other people's interests and ask them what they like instead of just talking about your own shit all the time. Love yourself. Oh no, right now this is recursive. Look what we're doing right now. Go talk to other people.
Yeah.
Love me.
I snuck into all the club photos, yearbooks, and I keep waiting for that to come back to haunt me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought it would be
like
way more
had
beneficial.
A nasty one.
I thought that would be way more beneficial than it was.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
people would be like, oh, I see here that in eighth grade you were in Latin club. You get $200,000 a year at this salary now or whatever.
Justin was a young Democrat and a young Republican and a young Independent and a young Green Party.
I was in the Key Club. Still don't know what that is.
Yeah, man.
No, I don't think so either.
I think I was in Future Homemakers of America. I'm not 100% sure. Future Farmers, too? I don't know. Can I be both?
You can be in the picture.
Ooh, this one's cool. Add a signature phrase. Come up with a signature phrase to write in yearbooks. Ideas include, this year has been a blast and has gone too fast. I can't wait to see what next year brings. Remember Grant. Remember Lee. To heck with them. Remember me.
Too long.
Yeah.
From a, like, is that a Civil War joke?
Yeah.
Maybe.
What? Fuck.
Yeah.
Is this article, How to Die Alone? Like, what kid? What little nerdlinger is like,
it's either a Civil War quote or a weird diss track for two other kids in your class. They're like, fuck Grant and fuck Lee. It's like, whoa, man. They're like, really cool. Like,
Tippecanoe and Tanner, too. And you're Tanner in this case.
Oh, okay.
keep it clean. Sorry, Miss Fillinger. Fucking, do you... If you as an adult are flipping through your yearbook and you see someone wrote the word ass or any cuss word in there, you're going to be like, I don't remember who Brian was, but he seems fucking cool.
Yeah,
I'm going to get back in touch with Brian because he cussed in my yearbook.
He's a good guy.
Don't tease or make fun of other students or the yearbook owner.
Okay.
You can razz them a little bit.
You can razz them a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a little casual ribbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little joshing.
Avoid confessions. Oops, too late. I was the Zodiac killer. Have a great summer. I did it. It was me. Lilas.
Grassy knoll. Lilas.
Jet fuel can't melt.
Lilas. I directed the moon landing. Lilas. What? Oh, you're in eighth grade. What are you talking about? Yeah, man. You heard me.
So don't use acronyms, actually, guys. So sorry about Lilacs.
Ah,
no,
fuck.
It's not. Though you may be tempted to write HAGS.
Why would summer. I write that?
Have a great summer.
Or well, have a great summer.
Or SYNY. See you next year. You should avoid using acronyms. In 20 years, when people are back looking through their yearbooks, they will probably have no idea what these acronyms
mean. Coney 2012. Is that an act? I'm still not sure where we're at with that one.
What is... That was like... Cool spelled with a K or not.
Yes.
Was, I believe, what that acronym stood for.
Yeah.
Sign your
2012.
Folder. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now we know.
Here's another question.
All right.
I want a munch
squad.
I want to munch
squad. Why'd you get so much louder?
Welcome to Munch Squad's podcast within the podcast profile, the latest and greatest in brand eating. We don't talk about AI much on this show because I think it's a huge bummer. But you know what's not a bummer?
That movie did bum me out, by the way. In the end, where he's like waiting for the blue
beard. Yeah. Oh, he's spinach and breaks.
Why a multinational pizza chain partnered with ChatGPT?
Okay.
For
you guys
money?
Ever heard of Dodo Pizza?
Dodo Pizza?
Dodo Pizza.
Like D-O-D-O or D-O-U-H-D-O-U-H?
D-O-D-O, Dodo, like the bird.
No.
It's
the incredibly successful and thriving bird.
Yeah, it's headed up by someone named Alina Tikova. Dodo Pizza has long been known for its embrace of the unconventional, from pioneering innovative reusable boxes to a digital-first food service concept.
I don't want to eat digital food.
Yep, it's digital food. If you look at the history of our company, it's a stream of unorthodox decisions, Tecova says. Our philosophy has always been to stay open to innovation on top of recent technologies. So what does that mean in this context? The latest innovation from Dodo Pizza has captivated customers is a partnership with ChatGPT. In February, the multinational pizza chain officially introduced an AI-powered pizza flavor generator.
What?
With its Dubai mobile application. Now customers can use the app to generate personalized pizza recommendations based on their moods and preferences, which can then be ordered online for delivery.
Listen,
this is the power of AI, guys. This is the dream. With over 30 million flavor combinations and more than 35 ingredients to choose from, customers can select mood options such as post-workout, game night, or
incredibly sad.
New in town, or my favorite, hungry, and receive tailored pizza suggestions within seconds. They can even name the pizza and view a generated image through AI program Midjourney before placing. Can you imagine seeing an incredible rendering of your pizza?
What's that? Oh my God, it's a picture of your own face made of pizza. What is this horrible? I don't want to slip into like too much, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, try here. This is some of the most Wally ass sounding shit I've ever heard, where I'm too lazy to take the 2 seconds to go, what kind of pizza do I like? And that's the amount of time you would have to take to talk to a chat-driven AI to figure out what kind of pizza you like, instead of just being like, well, I'm a 40-year-old man who's had pizza before. So
I know what pizza I like.
Certainly, I'd be able to figure it out.
It's actually for my brain a lot faster to type out a ChatGPT prompt than it is to think about what flavors of food I like.
Okay, I don't want you guys... I know sometimes I have a tendency on this show to mispronounce or maybe not have the clearest speaking when the words get a little challenging. So I'm going to send this next sentence to you guys. And Griffin, if you would just read this sentence out loud.
Yeah, sure. Dodo's Pizza's regular... Dodo Pizza's regular menu has expanded to include 17 experimental ingredients, offering items like fusilli, popcorn, duck, pumpkin seeds, melon, and guacamole.
Now, Griffin, I noticed you stumbled a bit with that first word.
Well, what is that word fuzzily, again, Griffin? F-U-Z-Z-I-L-Y?
Guys, if you can tell me...
It's fusilli, it's a pasta.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Maybe don't let ChatGPT write your press releases, perhaps, because you wrote fuzzily and no one looked at that and said, guys, fuzzily isn't an ingredient.
You mean fusilli and it's a pasta. Also, popcorn on pizza? Fuck you.
That's
fuzzily, guys.
But I mean, even if they had spelled it right, just straight up pasta noodles on pizza that is unorthodox. You got me there, Dodo Pizza.
Yeah, it is unorthodox.
If you send me, I'm going to jump back real quick, Griffin. Pizza known to be hot and steaming. You put popcorn on that pizza. You close that box lid. You take whatever time it takes to drive it to my home. You have lost any benefit of there being popcorn on that pizza. I'm not saying I'm at home, I get a pizza, I put popcorn on it, I immediately eat it.
It would need to be freshly applied. But by the time it made it to you, that would be rough. That would be rough. You maybe could use some puffed corn or something.
Perhaps.
Here's the quote. And guys, I know you're wondering about these, so there's a perfect explanation here.
Oh, thank God.
We included ingredients we don't normally put on pizza because we figure we might as well.
Oh.
Said Tecova.
Because why the fuck not? Now listen.
Customers can play with it repeatedly if they'd like to, or they can order a regular pepperoni pizza. We're giving them unlimited choices.
I love the idea of duck on pizza, but I love duck. It's one of my favorite. I'd love duck on pizza. I don't want to ask for it from a robot because
you have to.
I don't want to, Justin.
You can't order specific ingredients. You just tell it the mood you're in and that you know you want pizza, and it'll take it from there, Trav, and it knows you better than you know yourself.
Do you think if I said I'm in the mood for duck on pizza, and they'd be like, oh, then the last thing you want is duck on pizza. You want to be surprised, so here's a bunch of pasta loose in a box.
Tecova explains the move into AI thusly. It's hard not to pay attention to AI. Everybody's talking about it.
I mean, you're not right.
Yeah, man, we didn't want to, but fuck us, I guess.
The combination of this buzz and the fact that we're already using this fresh, cool technology made this an obvious choice for us.
Is it fresh and cool?
Now, this is very surprising. She acknowledges the real value lies in the insights gained about customers and their choices.
Oh.
When a guest uses the pizza flavor generator, Dodo Pizza gains valuable information about their preferences and situations.
Huh.
This data allows the company to tailor its marketing efforts and enhance the overall customer experience. So let me like clarify a little bit. You tell it, I'm in a grumpy mood. And then it says, do you want pineapple? And you say, no, you fucked up. Here's what I want. And then the robot says, okay. When people are in a grumpy mood, what they really want is pepperoni and sausage. And then the next person's like, I'm grumpy. And the robot's like, pepperoni and sausage? And the person's like, fucking A. This is good. This is good tech. And then the next person's like, I don't eat meat. And the robot's like, holy fucking shit.
But you're also grumpy?
But you're grumpy, but you don't eat meat?
Maybe being a vegetarian is a mistake. Have you thought about that?
Fuck! Well, do you know? Okay, I'm spiraling.
Yeah.
A computer, I'm spiraling. Can you help me and just tell me what ingredients you do like on pizza?
So I'll know
can
for
you
the
give
next
me that much?
For the next don't guy that's like else. You, I can do them. You're fucked. I can't.
Also, if you would tell me your address and spending habits and political leanings, that would be amazing.
That'd be
just
okay,
give me guys. And like your mom's maiden name or whatever.
And can you tell me which of these pictures has stoplights in it for me to know it, please?
Here's a good bellwether I use. Imagine going to a human being and saying, hey, you have a real intelligence, which is better than an artificial one.
Yeah.
I am horny. What kind of pizza should I eat?
Yeah.
No human being could ration this out. It doesn't make any sense. It's a nonsense question. Why are we giving computers nonsense questions guessing our pizza moods?
Yeah.
It's hopeless.
I would also not expect, the 20-year-old person that I call at Pizza Hut and answer the phone and I put in my order with them to remember that data. To better talk to the next person, like, well, the guy before you, he lived over here and he wanted, you know, anchovies or whatever, and you live in the same neighborhood, so you probably want anchovies too. That would be a wild expectation for that human being to have. Why are we asking a that is not a thing this, I expect. Nothing.
Is this up? Can I do this?
Some people are quite traditional and we have options for them. But a lot of people are willing to play around, and our ideal customers encompass those innovators to go. So they don't want just anybody buying Dodo Pizza. They want thought leaders buying this pizza. Their ideal customer is a creative type who's a pioneer and an entrepreneur and is willing to fuck around for 30 minutes with an AI robot to get sausage and onions.
Now, yeah. We should also say here at Dodo Pizza, just apologize. In beta testing, about half the time, it did send people batteries on pizza. We're trying to work that out. We haven't quite got those bugs out yet. So if you get the battery on pizza, just think before you eat it.
This is the difference with my pizza company, Justin McElroy's Humans Only Pizza.
Yeah.
Our market is any dumb motherfucker with a little pizza money to spend. We'll take you.
Yeah.
You don't need to be a thought leader here. We'll put whatever you want on the pizza. We won't make you talk to a robot at all. It's a Luddite's pizza. I make it in a brick oven. It takes me 4 hours. Please let me know several days in advance.
Yes. I can't wait to be able to afford computers.
And that, I think Justin actually could use a bit paring down like my pizza business. Griffin McElroy's hot and ready cheese pizzas from Little Caesars Pizzas.
Yeah.
And the way that my restaurant works is that we have... We go to Little Caesars, we buy the $5 hot and ready, we sell it back for $6, because we do need to make a little bit of something on the side. But you know if you come here, what you're going to get no matter what. We really only do the one thing, which is the best pizza, Little Caesars, hot and ready, $5 cheesy boys.
You guys are doing too much work. At Travis's Pizza already, what we've done is we waited for the trademark on pizza to lapse, and then we bought it. So now we own... the trademark to the idea of pizza. So anytime anyone eats a pizza, we get 5 cents. Every single time.
That's smart.
I'm going to go to the Dodo Pizza website, and I'm going to order a pizza, and they're going to ask my mood, and I'm going to say, my mood is, I just ate a pizza, and I'm fucking full of pizza.
I don't want pizza.
My mood is, I want a pizza, but I can't afford it. And see if you can get the AI to give you free pizza. Oh, okay. Ooh, so what would make you happy? Pizza you don't have to pay for? You got it, my dude. We're on it. Here we go. Take it down from the inside.
Hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself, and we hope that you will just order pizza the classic way.
Yeah.
You know?
A little conversation with a human being who doesn't care about your...
DoorDash or online. People work there anymore. I don't know.
Can I tell you guys, I went to ChatGPT just now to test its like sort of basic pizza recommendation skills. And I said, I need a pizza recommendation. I like it kind of salty, but not with too much stuff that's going to make me just explode in the toilet. I can do cheese as long as it's not like crazy. I do a margarita sometimes, but I don't actually like tomatoes all that much. And then it gave me back a fucking paragraph. I am not going to read all that. I don't need you. And it wrote it out so fast. And it's like, you're going to love this. I need 3 words from you, tops, of what kind of pizza to get. I don't need an explanation of like, well, we think Sicilian pizza features a blend of salty ingredients like olives.
Don't give these. I don't even know how to get to ChatGPT. I'm full Jerry Gergich. Like, I have no idea.
My secret to that is I just will Google anything, and then ChatGPT kind of just like pops up. Like, you're Googling.
Can I tell you guys? I'm so embarrassed. I've heard you guys say it a bunch now, and it makes complete sense. I've been looking for a guy named ChatGPT this whole time. Okay. I had no idea that it was Chat.
That's great.
And I made a friend named Chad, and I just call him whatever I need information. And he's like, who is this?
He knows.
I'm like, hi, Chad Kroeger. It's me, Travis McRae. And he's like, I'm Chad Kroeger, lead singer of Nickelback. I'm way too busy for this, but also I do have that information that you needed.
Yeah.
He's very helpful.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
I also use him for ChatGPS, and sometimes I call him when I'm lost somewhere, and he'll help me.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was ChatGPD. So I've been calling my grandpa Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Him.
Also, the Gotham Police Department.
I don't know what you want on a pizza, Justin. You're wasting my time. Is this part of your job? Wow. What is your job anyway? Hey.
Grandpa folks, Dan sounds a lot like Benoit Blanc, and that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Foghorn Leghorn, who both sound like each other. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you have fun. We got some live shows coming up, right, Trav?
Indeed, we do. In just 2 weeks. June 21st, we're going to be at Kansas City, Missouri. June 22nd, we're going to be in St. Louis, Missouri. June 23rd, we're going to be doing Tyson's, Virginia. It's my brother, and me, and all three of those. And now, also on sale, in July, we're going to be in Detroit and Cleveland. In August, we're going to be at Gen Con. September, we're in Orlando and Atlanta. October, it's Denver and Phoenix. November, it's Indianapolis and Milwaukee. You can visit bit.ly/McElroy Tours for tickets and all the information about those. Also, it is a new month, so there's new merch. We've got a Fungalore poster designed by Willow Quillen. We've got an Amnesty and MBMBAM bandanas by Zachary Sterling. And 10% of all proceeds this month will go to Equality Florida, which is dedicated to securing full equality for Florida's LGBTQ+ community.
Thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It won the Grammy of My Heart and the Kids' Choice Award, period.
For Best Kiss.
2024 for Best Kiss and Best Song. Do we have a wish?
We do.
Yeah.
Justin, Griffin, I would... Old Griffin, yeah.
Oh, I'll do this one, yeah. I'll do it. I'll do it, sure.
Okay.
Go ahead. I wish Webkinz would stop charging real money for virtual furniture. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
What's Webkinz? I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.